open up a big old can. Good times, unwind, falling out of love in the same night. Can't say I got a whole lot of cares. I'm in the redneck Riviera. It's getting crazy, I'm getting hammered, sitting right here at the Floribama.
Welcome back to the Jeff Forrest Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. So it'll come on the program this morning here in about an hour. Bradley J., my colleague at Breitbart News, and then in the 11 o'clock hour, we do it every Tuesday, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Joining us now, he is our state auditor. He's seeking the office of Secretary of State, but Andrew Sorrell joins us on the line. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Jeff. I'm doing really well. Had a couple pieces of good news come in the last few days. So, yeah, flying high today.
Well, that's good to hear. We're glad to hear that. Well, tell us about the good news. First, there's some polling out there that shows you in a favorable way.
Yeah, that confirms some internal polling that we've run recently as well. And the news is that an independent poll, so again, not run by my campaign, not commissioned by me, not paid for by me. To be honest, I didn't know a thing about the poll until it was already done and the results were released. And I'm reading the poll and I'm up 4 points in the race for Secretary of State. Now, this is significant because our campaign's internal polling from a few months ago had us down, and we've actually moved the race double digits here. And you don't normally see this kind of movement this early in races. So we're very excited about where we're at. And I think our strategy is working. We, you know, I go after grassroots conservatives. That's the voters that I want. My opponent seems to be running somewhat of a Montgomery Insider campaign. You know, how many endorsements can I get from the Montgomery Insiders? That's not what I worry about on the campaign trail. What I worry about is the average voter, the talk radio listener, and people who actually care about election integrity. That's who I want. And that strategy seems to be paying off.
Some of it seems to me just kind of being out and about, and you've been running for a while. Now, you know, money is going to come into this race. But right now, the game to game, at least from my perspective, looks to be like, you know, just go out and build up that name ID as much as you can.
Well, I was fortunate to have almost a year head start on my opponent. You know, when I heard that Wes Allen was going to run for lieutenant governor last August, I began hearing that. I immediately set out on the campaign trail and said, I want to run for Secretary of State. You know, there's nothing I care more about than election integrity. I knew this was the perfect position for me to run for. So I didn't officially announce because I was waiting on Wes to announce his intentions, but I did start campaigning. I was on the trail. You know, I was in, you know, about 55 counties before I even had an opponent in this race. So I've now hit 62 counties, and by the end of next month, I should be in all 67 counties. I'm going to try to get to all 67 counties twice this campaign. That's my goal, but that's what I'm talking about, just running that grassroots. And then, again, doing very active on social media, very active on talk radio, just doing everything we can to get our message out there. And, you know, and I'm willing to talk to people for an extended period of time to get their vote. And this goes all the way back to when I was running for the state legislature. You know, I told my wife, we started this race early. We were 18 months out when we started. We knocked 11,000 doors. And I remember, you know, if Grandma invited us in for lemonade, we would sit there and talk to her for an hour sometimes to get her vote. Now, you don't quite have that luxury when you're running statewide, but you know, again, taking questions at these groups, talking to people, there's key influencers in every community. You got to figure out who they are and convince them that you're serious about election integrity, and the word just begins to spread.
Well, and you know, I'm going to ask you this. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but just for the sake of this audience, there's no way you're going to drop out of this race at any point, is there?
Well, you don't drop out of a race, you're winning.
Exactly. I just told you the Montgomery Insiders are suggesting as much, and I figured I'd run that by you at this point.
Well, you got to remember that Montgomery has incorrectly predicted both of my last two races. You know, when I was 31 years old, I announced I was running against a 28-year incumbent Democrat in a seat that had been controlled by Democrats for 150 years. Montgomery gave me absolutely zero shot. Even the Alabama Republican Party gave me zero shot because they gave me $0 in the general. Even after I beat the community college president in the primary, 77-23, the Alabama Republican Party, and I'm not saying this to bash on the Republican Party. I love the Republican Party. You know that, Jeff. I've been a member for 16 years. I'm the bylaws chairman for the Republican Party. I'm just trying to illustrate that race looked completely unwinnable to the Montgomery insiders, but it wasn't. I knew the district better than they did. I knew what the people wanted to hear, and I knew they weren't being represented in Montgomery the way that they wanted to be. And I was able to win that race. Now, granted, I was barely right. I got 52% of the vote. Then what happened next? You know, I ran for state auditor in 2022. I was in a field of five candidates. I was polling in last place at 3% of the vote. I had people on my consulting team who told me the race was impossible to win, but I never believed that. And we ended up making the runoff, and we were in first place actually going into the runoff. And then everybody believed at that point, and then we rallied and we got 57% of the vote. So it's always amusing to me when people write off my campaigns. Like, please keep doing that, Montgomery. Please keep assuming I can't win these races. That's exactly what I want. If everyone starts saying I'm going to win, I'm actually going to get nervous.
Well, you're looking good right now, and you know you said you're going to try to get to all the counties, but it's just got to be a matter of maintaining an advantage here. And you know, I guess when I look at it, and she'll be on the program, by the way, Caroline Dobson, his opponent, tomorrow on the show. But maybe they're just holding back and they're waiting for the right time to strike.
This race is far from over, and I don't mean to indicate in any way that it is. A 4-point lead is basically the margin of error. I mean, I think the margin of error in this poll was 4%. So the race is a virtual tie right now. So it's not by any stretch over. There's a lot of work left. There's a lot of events left. There's a lot of TV ads left to be run. There's a lot of fundraising left to do. So yeah, I don't mean to imply at all that the race is over because of an early poll. That's just not how it works. What it does illustrate is that I am a serious contender in the race, and that the momentum is on our side, because you don't get double-digit gains in polling this early typically. You know that. You followed a lot of these races. The numbers don't usually start moving until closer to the end. And even when I ran for auditor, you know, I was still polling in last place until 3 weeks before the primary, ended up in first place going into the primary. So it's just unusual to have this much movement this early, and it's very encouraging. It's a signal to me that our messaging is right. You know, people want to audit our elections, Jeff. I mean, Montgomery doesn't seem to realize that because they failed to pass the bill the last 2 years. But I realize it, and the average voter on the campaign trail realizes we need to have a serious election audit. We're one of five states in America that has no type of post-election audit. Been a lot of pushback on that. I don't understand why. My polling shows that between 80 and 90% of Republican primary voters want an election audit. We're going to make that happen for them. They want the cost of the voter list to be reduced. Why are we the most expensive in the nation? We charge $38,000 for the voter list. That's crazy, Jeff. If I'm Secretary of State, we're going to give it away for free, like many other states do. The state of Washington, you can go there right now, download the voter list for free. I want people to try to hold us accountable. We're going to do such a good job cleaning up the voter rolls that we're not afraid for people to look at them and see, okay, grandma passed away 2 years ago. She's still in the voter rolls. Oh, no, she's not. She's been removed because they're doing their job right. That's the whole point. This is public information. It ought to be publicly accessible. I'm going to make friends with other secretaries of state. We're going to expand the voter integrity database that Wes Allen started. All right, I want to triple it from 10 partner states to 30 partner states. We've already found 40,000 duplicates on our voter rolls. These people are registered in two different states or more. And by the way, some of them are voting in two different states in the same election cycle. That's illegal. We're going to catch those people. If we have another 20 state partners, I bet you we'll find another 80,000 people on the voter rolls that are duplicates, and we're going to get them removed. This is the message I think that's resonating. This is the message that's moving the polling, and we're going to double down on our strategy and our messaging.
We'll talk a little bit about this, and we'll ask your opponent tomorrow, but, you know, the duties of the Secretary of State's office, we mostly identify it with elections, but, you know, the other aspects of it, you know, business licensing and just the matter of which government operates and how that can be improved.
So, you know, it's funny, there's 1,000 duties assigned to the Secretary of State's office under Alabama law, and about 900 of them are related to business services, which are, of course, extremely important. When I go on the campaign trail, though, I'm not sure I've gotten the first question about business services. Nobody in the audience has asked me anything about speeding up business services, making it faster, more efficient, you know, cheaper, anything like that. So it is a part of my campaign platform. It's something I even talk about, but it's just funny that the voters, what they care about most is election integrity. But when you speak to business groups, I do think they care a lot about what I'm about to explain. And that is, you know, business filings have to be done quickly. I remember when we opened our S-Corp back in 2010, it took us something like 2 months to get our paperwork back in the mail that our corporation had been opened. That literally set us back on the initial opening date for our company by 60 days. Well, today you get your business service documents back. I mean, you pay online and then they just populate and you can print them off on your computer. I mean, it's instant. That's how it should be. But the fees are still too high. So I'd say the service, the efficiency is very, very good. You want to do a UCC filing or something like that with Secretary of State's office. That stuff all happens very quickly. What I don't like is that it's $100 to update your business's registered agent. I mean, it shouldn't be that way. That's a name and address change. That should be a $10 fee. The fee to dissolve your entity, if you're not using it anymore, that should be zero. Right now, we charge $100 to click a button in the computer software to shut down a company. That's crazy. Nobody shuts down a company that's making money. I feel like we're kicking people in the rear end on the way out the door with the company that didn't work out for whatever reason. And I've already mentioned the cost of the voter list. I mean, $38,000. You can buy all 49 other states' voter lists for a total of $50,000. And we charge $38,000 just for our state's voter list. It's way too expensive. I already just said we're going to cut that. We're going to just give that away for free if I'm the next Secretary of State. Other things that are on the Secretary of State, you have athletic agents actually register with the Secretary of State's office, and Secretary of State sits on the athletic agents like oversight board. International adoptions come through the Secretary of State's office. So there's just a lot of things. There's a lot of different boards that you serve on, electronic vote committee, all those type. Anything dealing with elections, of course, you're going to be involved with. And then, of course, the kind of supervision, so to speak, of the Board of Registrars members around the state. So, you know, as auditor, I have 66 appointments to Board of Registrars positions. I have an additional 3 appointments to various boards, election integrity boards. Secretary of State's office is the only one that can fire a Board of Registrar member, which is very rare that needs to happen. I think they do a fantastic job, but occasionally there is a reason to remove a registrar. Secretary of State's the only one that can do that. So that's a quick overview of all the different duties of the Secretary of State's office. But again, the one that I found the voters are most passionate about is the election integrity stuff.
We're joined by Andrew Sorrell, our state auditor here on the program. Meanwhile, you're still the state auditor. Give us an update. We haven't talked about that a whole lot since you've been on lately. But how's that duty going?
Well, things are running very well. We've got someone that's about to retire. She said she was going to retire. Actually, when I was running for auditor, she said she was going to retire, and she hasn't yet. But we're not pushing her out. We love her. We want to keep her as long as possible. But she is getting ready to retire. We're having to backfill some positions. I just hired someone about 2 weeks ago, interviewed him, took him out to lunch, got to know him, thought he would do a great job. He's been doing inventory, like equipment inventory for the Army for about 20 years. So I thought he'd be a great fit in our office. So we're going to go ahead and bring him on. But, you know, I am not in Montgomery this week. You may know this, Jeff, but we just brought home our third baby from the hospital about 36 hours ago. We got home from Helen Keller Hospital. So I am not in Montgomery this week. I am at home helping my wife out, trying to take care of the older two girls because we just had a little baby boy on Friday. And by the way, we named him Justice. So we now have Liberty, Glory, and Justice.
Yeah, congrats. I was gonna say that for the end, but congrats on your third child there, and you got a good string going there with the names. I keep calling them to the dinner table every night. Liberty, Glory, and Justice. There.
We talked about doing a name that wasn't patriotic, so to speak. And I said, everyone would be so disappointed if we didn't continue this. And once you start with Liberty, you just have to keep going down that road.
Yeah, that would seem to be true. Why quit now, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And Justice is a Latin form of the name Justin, and my name is Justin Andrew Sorrell. I've always gone by Andrew. My parents thought Justin Andrew flowed better than Andrew Justin, so they named me Justin Andrew and said he's going to go by Andrew. So that's always been a little confusing when I'm filling paperwork out and stuff. some of my paperwork, statement of economic interest and stuff. I had news articles run 6 or 8 years ago saying, oh, Andrew Sorrell didn't file his paperwork. And then I contacted the news agency and I said, look under the name Justin. And they were like, oh, okay, we found it now. So that's always caused some confusion. But it's almost like having a junior, a Justice Andrew Sorrell is what we named him. Not quite, because the name's not identical, but Justice is the same as Justin, just in Latin.
Well, okay. Yeah, it was funny you mentioned the Justin part with the our friends at AL.com and their reporting here lately. But that's a discussion for another day. Hey, I guess we'll get you out of here on this and some of the legislative things. I think, you know, the debanking discussion and other things that you've kind of spearheaded here, do you anticipate having any, you know, any skin in the game this legislative session again?
It's going to depend on whether or not the debanking executive order and whatnot that Trump's taking care of. There's some federal debanking legislation. I know Katie Brick co-sponsored it. I forget the exact name of the bill, but her office reached out to me for a comment, which I was happy to provide. But so basically the answer is, if the federal government deals with debanking on a nationwide level, we may not have to deal with it on a statewide level. If they do not, or if it's something that's just simply an executive order that the next president could turn around and undo if they were a Democrat, then I still think we want to go ahead and put those protections in Alabama law. So it's very likely that that debanking bill will be coming back. And I'll be happy to be a spokesman for this. I mean, I was on the cutting edge of societal evolution with this issue, as Rush Limbaugh used to say. I was talking about this issue before anyone else in Alabama was talking about this issue and saying how important it was, because I had personally been debanked 3 times because I owned a gun store. And it wasn't very woke of me to be selling guns. So these liberal companies, credit card companies, processors, insurance companies, all started dropping my company for no reason other than I was a gun salesman. And it's un-American. And then it happened to President Trump, and he got fired up about it. He got debanked. So now it's like all Republicans know about debanking now because Trump's talking about it. So I'm pleased to have been, again, on the cutting edge of that issue. That issue is very likely coming back this next legislative session.
Andrew, folks want to find out more about your campaign, how they can get in touch, et cetera. Tell them.
Yeah, AndrewSorrell.com, S-O-R-R-E-L-L, AndrewSorrell.com, or Andrew Sorrell for Secretary of State on Facebook.
Andrew, we appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right, Andrew Sorrell, ladies and gentlemen, State Auditor, seeking the office of Secretary of State. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. I'll find a